words in the New Testament, like words in our English usage, are not determined by their root. They're determined by their usage.
So, for example, butterfly is not flying butter. Even though the root says butter and you have flying and you put it together, this is not a flying milk product.
Is repentance a condition for eternal salvation? Or is it possibly included when we talk about belief? Hi, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. At the end of Bob and Sean's discussion, I'm going to come back and tell you how you can get a copy of a book by the same title. We've got a fantastic discussion lined up for you today, so let's head on over to the GES studios. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we have been discussing some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible taken from Bob's book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words of the Bible. And today we would like to talk about the subject of repentance. Now, this is a big word. This is a word that most Christians know, and they know it in a particular context. If you're an evangelical or if you've heard a preacher kind of offer the saving message to people, usually the condition that they put is that you need to repent and to believe in order to be born again. And we're going to challenge that idea in this episode.
Absolutely. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, and I know you have too, Sean. I know you're a Baptist now, and in Baptist circles especially, you will hear justification is by faith alone, apart from works. And then the preacher will say, so if you repent and believe, you will be justified.
Right. And you'll see that in church statements of faith. Check out your church. Check out what your church says about salvation. Usually, or very often, it'll say salvation is by repenting and believing. Okay, and so is that a biblical usage? Now, definitely, there is repentance in the Bible. We're not questioning that.
Right.
Definitely, Jesus preached repentance. The Old Testament preaches repentance. Repentance is important. What we're asking is it biblical to say that repentance is a condition to be born again? That's what we're asking.
Right. And Sean, I would say that confuses people because John 3:16 doesn't mention repentance. John 5:24 doesn't mention repentance. Galatians 2:17 doesn't mention repentance. Remember, the Apostle Paul is asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, he says in Acts 16:31 to the Philippian jailer. Nothing about repentance. The word repentance doesn't even occur in John's gospel, the only evangelistic book in the Bible. It's not found in Galatians, which is Paul's defense of his gospel. And so what I would suggest is, although it's well-intentioned, I mean, obviously we want people to walk with Christ. We want people to be holy. But the way to do that is not by confusing people.
Right.
So we need to be clear. And I think where we need to start, Sean, is what is repentance?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think a lot of people, when someone says you need to repent of taking drugs, or you need to repent of cheating on your wife, or you need to repent of like skimming off the top at work or whatever, we're telling people to change their behavior, aren't we? We're saying stop doing that bad thing and start doing the right thing.
Right. When I wrote my doctoral dissertation at Dallas Theological Seminary, I wrote on this subject, repentance as a condition for salvation in the New Testament. And I argued what's called the change of mind view. Are you familiar with that view, Sean?
Right. And so people who know that we're saved by faith apart from works, who also want to include repentance into the condition of salvation, are kind of put in a tough spot, right? Because they can't define repentance as stop sinning and start obeying, because then that would make works a condition of salvation.
Right.
So what they do is, to kind of compromise, they say, well, no, repentance must be just a change of mind. And they base that on the word, the Greek word for repentance.
Right. The word metanaeo, the verb or the noun, is metanoia. It comes from two words. Nous means mind, and meta means oftentimes after. So they say it's an aftermind or an afterthought or a change of thought. The problem with that view is words in the New Testament, like words in our English usage, are not determined by their root. They're determined by their usage.
So, for example, butterfly is not flying butter. Even though the root says butter and you have flying and it, you put it together, this is not a flying milk product. You have to look at the, how the word is used.
That's exactly.
And it refers to a bug. And the same thing with repentance. Just because the roots are something like aftermind or change of mind, that doesn't necessarily tell you that's what that word means.
That's exactly right. And I like your butterfly illustration. I think the way we can see it is Jesus said, the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. That's Matthew 12, verse 41. And when you go back to the book of Jonah and chapter 3, you see they turned from their evil ways. They turned from their wicked ways. They put on sackcloth. They put on ashes. They fasted. They prayed. And they turned from their wicked ways. So what the Lord Jesus is saying when he said they repented at the preaching of Jonah is they turned from their wicked ways. And the result was God did not destroy Nineveh at that time like he said he was going to. In 40 days, then comes the judgment. But God relented because they repented. And so I think the meaning of repentance is clearly a turning from our wicked ways. Now, it has a mental component to it. You make that decision. But it's a turning away from your wicked ways. And that could be something an unbeliever does. It can be something a believer does. But it's not a condition of eternal life.
Right. So if you're getting drunk in a bar, you have not repented of drinking at that point. You are still doing it, even though you feel sorry about it, even though you may not necessarily want to do it. If you're doing it, you have not repented.
That's right.
A repentance is a change of your behavior.
Right. When I wrote my doctoral dissertation, I suggested that about 11 times in the New Testament, 10 if you put together Matthew 3, 2 and Matthew 4, 17, which both say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. On those 10 passages, I argued repentance was a condition for salvation, but in those 10 passages, it meant a change of mind about Christ. And I argued from the butterfly kind of illustration that the meaning of the word was change of mind. However, that was 1985 when I completed my dissertation and received my doctorate at Dallas Seminary. But about 5 years later, a friend of mine wrote a book called Absolutely Free. Zane Hodges wrote this, and he argued that repentance is not a condition of everlasting life at all, and that repentance is turning from sins. And so I remember he was on my board at the time, and we had a board meeting, and we talked about this, and we had a long conversation about it, and that was in 1989, 1990, about 5 years after I completed my dissertation. And I wasn't convinced right away, but it intrigued me. And it took me 7 years of study to get to the point where all 10 of those verses went away, and I came to realize there's not a single verse in the Bible that links repentance and everlasting life.
Right. And people should know, you know, the Gospel of John, as we have suggested, is it's the only book in the Bible that explicitly says it was written to unbelievers so that they might believe in Jesus and have life. And if repentance was a condition to have everlasting life, John would have put it somewhere in his book. He's writing the book about how to be born again. If repentance was a condition to be born again, he would have mentioned it somewhere in his gospel.
Now, some people say, Sean, that that's an argument from silence. And they say you can't prove anything from silence. But Zane Hodges wrote an article and he said, no, that's really an argument about silence. And he said, here's the difference. And I'm using my own illustration. He had his, but here's my illustration. Let's say that you wrote a book on the greatest generals of World War II. Let's say that you left out the name General Patton, old blood and guts, General Patton. He's not in your book. You don't mention him. And the title of the book is The Greatest Generals of World War II. Would it be an argument from silence or about silence to say, Sean Lazar does not believe that General Patton was one of the greatest generals of World War II?
Right. That's right. Yeah. So I'd be making a statement by leaving him out.
And by leaving repentance out, John's making a statement. In fact, most commentators think that when you read in John chapter 1, remember John the Baptist had two disciples, and John points over in John 1:35 and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so those two disciples leave John and go over to Jesus, and they become his disciples. Most people think one of those two was the Apostle John. So the Apostle John, if he indeed was a disciple of John the Baptist first, was trained in repentance, because John gave a baptism of repentance, and he called on people to repent. And John mentions the words repent, the verb metanoeo, 12 times in the book of Revelation. So he's very familiar with the word, and he's happy to use it. But he doesn't use it at all in his gospel. So that's an argument about silence.
Right. So, yeah. So that's an interesting point. And so, again, we're not saying that repentance isn't biblical. We're not saying that Jesus and others didn't preach repentance. What we're saying is repentance is not a condition to be born again, even though that's what so many preachers present from the pulpit over and over and over again. That's not what repentance is for. Christians and unbelievers should change their behavior.
Absolutely.
Christians and unbelievers should turn away from sin and live holy lives. But that's not a condition to be born again. That's for something else. There's another reason why you'd want to do that.
Right. And we're going to look at these 10 passages in upcoming shows. But one thing I could say is that repentance is linked with life. So in order to extend your life, you need to turn from your sins. So, for example, the Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah, and instead of them all being wiped out, their lives were extended.
Right. They could have been like Sodom and Gomorrah, just wiped off the map.
Sodom and Gomorrah did not repent. They were wiped off the map. That's a good example.
But Nineveh, they repented, and they were given more time.
Right. And the same thing is true in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18 has a discussion of repentance in the Old Testament, but since we're running out of time, so why don't we pick it up next time? But what I would say is what this shows when we get there to Ezekiel 18 is that repentance is a condition for the extension of physical life, not gaining eternal life, but extending one's physical life and physical prosperity.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion on repentance. What an interesting idea to consider what the Apostle John thought the role of repentance was. Maybe these ideas and concepts are brand new to you. If that's the case, I would highly suggest you get a copy of Dr. Bob Wilkins' book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. You can do that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And while you're there, do yourself a favor and get a subscription to our free magazine, Grace in Focus. In fact, we've got all kinds of free resources on the website, such as podcasts and blog articles. You can get information about our upcoming events. Maybe you have questions or comments concerning today's broadcast. Email us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time, Bob and Sean will continue talking about repentance, but they're going to get more focused on the purpose. I hope you'll join us. But until then, let's keep grace in focus.